Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Friday, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago. Danny Burke, producing, engineering, and to my left, I'm excited to have him in. Assistant coach at Nebraska, longtime coach, tremendous coach at Lincoln Southeast. Coach Jeff Smith is going to be doing the game with me tonight, Burke and East for high school hoops. But I wanted to talk some college basketball, some recruiting. Jeff Smith is in studio here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, it's, I think last summer we hooked up and you came down and I coerced you into making your way up north here to say what's up. How are you?
I'm great. I thought since we're going to go do a good ball game tonight, might as well come and hang out. That's going
to
be a good one.
I can't wait to see Burke. I have not seen him yet this year. We've seen East a few times and they are incredible. Just a really just great... It's a great 2017-2018 high school basketball, and man, it's looking good for Eastern. Talking state preview.
Really, and a great matchup between a couple of Division I players. You know, Sam Griesel we know about, Sharif Mitchell. Yeah. I went and watched a little open gym early in the fall because there was about four D1, and I knew a D1 guy that was going to watch him. He's a pretty special player. He might be player of the year. One of these guys might be. So it's going to be fun tonight to see what happens between these two.
It'll be a lot of fun. We are loaded up. It is recruiting. It is getting down to it. And I tell you what, it is another big weekend visit list for Coach Frost in Nebraska. Greg Smith will have that for you. We will jump into the Mazarie-Maypew situation that has just kind of cropped up. Journal Star and World Herald. As well as Hail Varsity have info on that. We'll talk about that in a minute here. And we're going to get caught up with Greg Smith here in 15 minutes. We'll also talk Nebraska and their task at hand when it comes to this month and the March Madness and the tournament. Coach, you were at Nebraska for a lot of years with Coach Knee and those golden era, man, those great years of tournament runs. Bill Dolman is going to also be with us in 1 hour. Bill was doing the broadcast of a lot of those through the old Big 8 and Big 12 TV network. And then we'll keep it in the basketball family. Evan Taylor is going to be with us. Had a chance to get caught up with Evan. Evan, your guard for Nebraska basketball. And then the Friday forecast is locked in for a little bit later today. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap house. Let you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. On Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Coach Smith, I want to jump into some recruiting thoughts. And the long and short of the Mazarie-Maypew story is he's been committed. You know, he's a talented defensive lineman. He's out of York. And he's been committed to Coach Perella since 2016. And he's in state. He's just got that body type for the middle. And Mazarie, according to reports, 99% sure he'll qualify academically. The thing is May is when the GPAs are signed, sealed, and delivered. That needs to pair, as you know, for Division I football, Division I basketball. The Big Ten academic entrance requirements has to pair with the ACT. And right now, Nebraska and other schools not sure that will happen, even though that the Coach Snodgrass has said 99%. Well, Nebraska is only got one guy, that's Maypew, in the class, in line, as the defensive tackle. And you need defensive tackle. You need big bodies. So Nebraska is not sure. And they're moving on. Iowa Western is the potential landing spot for Maypew if he doesn't qualify. Wisconsin, according to the World Herald, also really loves Mazarie. The qualification standpoint is is the issue, though, and Wisconsin is very, very hard to get into. I think it might be the hardest Big Ten school to get into, even in front of Northwestern, if memory serves correct. That's an issue. So long and short of it here, Nebraska just is not going to get burnt on an academic situation. Coach Smith, you've been on both sides of this aisle with players who have had great offers. You've also been a coach going after a player at the college level. And, man, take me through what each side is feeling right now. And I'm assuming you've experienced something like this.
Yeah. In fact, I was just talking to a freshman today, struggling with grades. I don't know if freshmen in high school understand about core GPA sometimes. It's something that coaches, high school coaches, really have to, and counselors, really have to educate kids on. Eighth grade, seventh grade, that GPA doesn't matter that much, you know, NCAA-wise, but you hit your freshman year, everything matters. And you got to pound that home with those kids because sometimes that freshman year can catch up with you. So as a coach, it's, you know, it's just total monitoring throughout their career. But some kids, you know, they don't know they're going to get recruited. They haven't developed yet. So it's something you got to watch throughout at your program and it's tough to keep track of all your freshmen, all your sophomores and see where they're at. But some kids get caught with their core GPA being too low because their freshman year, they just weren't serious enough about their or mature enough with their academics. Then on your other side, it's about homework. I mean, it's about doing your homework, and that's one of the first things you got to do is try to get that transcript, see where they're at. It's that sliding scale with ACT versus mm-hmm. GPA, and you've got to do a lot of homework on kids. When you're ready to offer, you've got to know where they're at academically.
Well, and you look at this here, and next week is signing day, a signing day extravaganza here on Hail Varsity Radio with myself and Greg Smith, and we'll have the Scott Frost press conference for you at 3. So just a loaded day next week. But you have a bunch of schools. I mean, Bama has called on Masary. You have Wisconsin. You have Nebraska. I think it was Florida State that was by to see him. You have a lot of schools kind of wowed with him, and the projection starts because there's so much competition to find a agile, athletic, big body that can eat space and go get tackles. So next week, it's not really going to happen. At least that's the report right now. Greg Smith's 10 minutes away. We'll get his thoughts on the weekend. He'll have a thought on Mo Washington, the talented back out of Texas that's here this weekend. We'll get Greg's thoughts on Masary. And in past discussions with Coach Snodgrass, and this has been, I think back in June, he came on the Saturday morning. He was down for Nebraska's camp. And Masary's a situation where the kid came from Egypt. His folks came from a different part of the world, and then he grew up in foster care and then was adopted. So Masary's been through a lot in his life. Yep. And then the fact remains to be seen, though, that ninth grade year that you touched on. Think about when you were in ninth grade. I think back to ninth grade, and yeah, technically it was freshman year, but it was still Irving Junior High for me. now it is at the high school level, but that's a whole new ball game. And most of us don't grow up till we're 20 or over, right? Yeah. So let alone being 13, you know, 14 or 15, having to rock those core classes.
Yeah, and we've got a great counseling department, and they'll send an email out to us every year, twice a year, and ask who has a chance to be recruited. We've got to start tracking their core GPA, their test scores, even their early test scores. And that's been huge because we can monitor and get on those kids and sit down with them and show them. That helps a lot. You know, other thing with that recruiting, bigs are bigs. And they're tough. Bigs in basketball, they're rare. You know, defensive linemen, they're rare. There's not as many of them, especially late in the recruiting process like this. He's going to get blown up because now they're thinking he might be available. Even after JUCO, they're putting their name in for after JUCO. So those rare athletes, like you're talking about, agile, big, strong, they're just not very many of them. And with that earlier signing period, a lot of them are gone. So mm-hmm. Nebraska needs one or two. And you know, the good thing about this, though, is it can help their relationship with Iowa Western. If they can put him at Iowa Western, if they have to, hopefully they don't, but if they have to, then hopefully get players back from that later on, other players too. So it's a great way for Coach Frost to develop that relationship with Iowa Western, because they've been a pretty good resource for some teams.
They've been a monster resource, and they have been great. They've been a high-talent, high-level program. And I saw today on social media, it's been 10 years since Nebraska had been there. So one of the first things Coach Frost and his staff have done is get back and tour the state, go see the high school coaches. Barrett's doing that.
Yep.
And then go see Iowa Western. And Frost is up there today, according to reports. So the plan's great. Things are going well, but this is a bit of a snafu if you're Nebraska and if you're looking at the defensive tackle, Mazury Maypew, and we'll see where it shakes out here. Couple of thoughts from you here, Coach Smith. Jeff Smith in studio here today on Friday with Hail Varsity Radio. Bigs are bigs. They're coveted. And when you look at a kid like Mazury that's going in early and working with three teachers and trying to get that GPA up, what's the recourse if the effort's made, if you can't erase the freshman year? It's a year at Iowa Western for him. If he does qualify, if he doesn't, it's 2 years and the recruitment's opened back up. Is that in your experience from a high school standpoint, are kids pretty receptive? Do they shut down? How do they deal with struggles academically when they are trying to give it their all? It's just, you know, I'm going to raise my hand in math class here and just I got worked over and I got all the help I could get and it still didn't matter. It still didn't work out for me.
Yeah. Typically, they're pretty receptive. Typically, kids are going to grind it. They're going to put in extra time. If they're not, Nebraska probably doesn't want him. And I'm sure he's the kind of kid that's going to get after it. And I'm sure, you know, York's the kind of school that's going to give him a lot of attention, and those teachers are willing to step in. I'm sure that's – I don't know the kid, but I'm sure that's kind of why he got recruited in the first place. Sure. I think the reaction will be totally positive. I think that's going to be a good sign for a kid in the future, and hopefully he can get it done. If he can get some really strong grades here, that might counteract some of the lower ones earlier, and maybe that GPA can creep up and be where it needs to be.
I think Nebraska fans, Coach Snodgrass, I think there's an understanding as to what Nebraska kind of has to do. If it's not a sure thing, you can't burn a scholarship. Nebraska is tight. There's not much room at the inn, as they say, because of just the numbers that Frost wants to bring in. Can tap the line, Chillingbridge Court, can tap house. Let's do that, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Bryson Williams, you know well, he is off to Wisconsin. His GPA is insane. I mean, it's close to four or over from what I remember seeing. And Bryson's a kid that, it sounds like, was pretty locked in early on.
He was. It was an easy choice for him because Nebraska didn't just go on him. And a school like Wisconsin comes in. He loved his visit.
In fact, he stayed with him.
Yeah, he did. And I admire that. And I told him that before he left. I don't get to see him every day anymore.
Sure.
And he was always so positive and bright and optimistic. You know, I kind of miss him being around school because he was a great leader for us, too. But, yeah, he was locked in on them early. As soon as they offered, it was kind of a done deal. You could see it. But he still, you know, is such a good young man that he took his time, talked to his family. But once he made that decision, I didn't see him wavering at all. Mm-hmm. And so we wish the best for him, even though we're Husker fans.
Sure, absolutely.
Hopefully we can beat him when he comes back here. he'll be good for them.
That's awesome. Last thought here, and we'll get Greg Smith here in about 5 minutes. A player you have coached and a man you know real well, and it's Barrett Rood and just his role at Nebraska and what he's going to be doing within this state. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, in fact, Barrett was over at Southeast today, but I was in a class, so I didn't get a scene.
Okay.
I was in classroom, in fact. I wish he would have come in the weight room, but in my weight class. Barrett has unbelievable morals, principles, work ethic, and he's seen everything. You know, he's experienced everything. So I think it's just fun to embrace him coming back. we're so excited about him coming back, that the Southeast community is, mm-hmm. and Lincoln and the Husker community. And I think he's just going to do an unbelievable job recruiting his position. I think these guys recruit by position a little bit more than some other staffs. and that's exciting for him, because he can go get guys and that he wants. And I know he's excited about that. So I'll look forward to spending some time with him. He turned into a pretty good golfer between NFL and really coaching. That's probably going to suffer a little bit. So hopefully I can play golf with him again.
The rule of thumb is you don't want your coaches to be too good at golfers.
Right. He took some time between
unless
NFL
you're Spurrier
and coaching.
And Barnett.
Yeah, and I know he spent some time at it, but he'll drop off again now because he'll be so busy.
Last time, Barrett, he was in studio here. He was with Tampa, and this is probably 10, 11 years ago, but we had some sort of contest going on, and Willie Clefcorn, a buddy of my brother's, played ball with them growing up, and knows Barrett and Hazy and those guys. And so Barrett's there, and I challenge him on air to a tasty eating contest. Barrett won.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
But you just say tasty, he's like, yeah, I'm in. That's good. That's good. We'll get caught up with Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com and Magazine Recruiting, who's here this weekend. Greg's thoughts on Mazurie Maypew and Nebraska. We'll also get caught up with Bill Dolman, Husker guard Evan Taylor. Next hour, Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, big time recruiting weekend. Mr. Greg Smith all over at HailVarsity.com and Magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Chris Schmidt, the coach, Jeff Smith. And Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke is locked in. And I think Danny's distracted with who's here this weekend. I mean, he's...
Is Danny a Bears fan?
We'll ask him here. His coach's mic needs to be... Danny is distracted.
Yeah, he is. Is Danny a Bears fan is my question.
Big time.
There you go. Me too.
I am
excited
oh
for the new season.
I'm surrounded by Bears fans because Greg Smith, also the Pride of Chicago, is a Bears fan.
New Huskers coach, new Bears coach. It's exciting times.
Big year for me.
Greg, can you just want to take over this segment? I'll go wander along with Snowflake and the Dolphins.
Sorry, Greg.
if we want to start getting into some Bears talk, we can certainly do that because it's the dawn of a new era around there.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Greg, you break out your Neil Anderson jersey.
Man, that's a good throwback. Right?
Uh-huh. Danny, you get your Urlacher, and Coach, you probably have the Mike Brown jersey,
yeah.
I would say.
I'm as old as Gale Sayers.
So you're going Gale. Okay, that's fine. Okay, so Mazurie Maypew, York, Coach Snodgrass. Greg, break it down for us. What's your take on what's gone on here?
Yeah, first, I mean, it's not a big surprise that it looks like Mazurie Maypew will not be signing with Nebraska next week. I didn't think, even if, Nebraska was still going to count on him or want to have him as part of the class, I didn't think there was a way he was going to sign next week anyway, because basically they had to wait for his grades to clear and check out in the long run. Coach is now saying that they're not, or Coach Snodgrass is saying that, he won't be signing with Nebraska. Looks like he's still waiting to see if another school or two wants to enter the mix here at this late stage. But I do think that all signs point to him going to Iowa Western, maybe qualifying. If he qualifies, fully academically, he'll just have to be there for maybe one semester, and then we'll see where it goes from there. Like, I don't think Nebraska is totally out of it should he go to Iowa Western, but I definitely don't think he won't be signing with Nebraska next week.
He won't be signing next week. What from here now, say Mazurie has to go and gets things taken care of at Iowa Western, what's your read on Mazurie? Is he still in love with Nebraska, or is Nebraska still in love with him? I mean, Nebraska and other schools are doing the smart thing for them, not wanting to, air quote, waste a scholarship if the kid can't qualify.
Yeah, that's the real interesting question there about who is still in love with who at this point in this recruitment. Because I think he still really likes Nebraska. I think that he wants to come to Nebraska. But I don't get any indication from this new coaching staff that they are as high on him as the previous staff was. I don't think it's really a great secret that they prefer Bryson Williams to Mazurie Maypew. And there are other people. They're not alone in that. There are other people Minnesota that felt that way. Wisconsin felt that way as well. But I think that had they been here all along and had to make the choice, they would have chosen Bryson Williams. Not to say that, you know, Mazur is not a good player at all. He's a quality prospect. But I do think that Nebraska's coaching staff is not quite as high on him as the previous staff.
Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Greg is found on Twitter at GregSmithHV. Recruiting weekend, Greg, and what is your gut right now on Nebraska? What's the number of committable spots right now for Nebraska?
So right now, Nebraska would be at, 19, if taking Mazur out of the picture here. Scott Frost this week had comments that they were going to look between 24 and 27. So if you just take those raw numbers that are the facts of what he put out there, they have as many as 8 spots available. I don't know if they're going to fill 8 spots, but they certainly have enough interested guys to fill those 8 if they would like to. And they've got 5 good official visitors this weekend, in which I think every official visitor on campus this weekend would have the green light to commit.
Well, and start with Maurice Washington. His story this week, Frost has been to Texas, and he's been to San Jose. And now Maurice and his mother are in to see Nebraska this weekend. With Nebraska here and this prospect here, Greg, what do you think Nebraska's chances are? And I know there's some heavy hitters lined up for him.
Yeah, I think Nebraska's chances are extremely high on this one. He's the player that I feel most confident in signing with Nebraska coming out of this weekend, that'll be here this weekend. Nebraska, you alluded to it, Nebraska sent Scott Frost and 5 assistant coaches down to Florida. Or not to Florida, sorry, I got Florida on the mind because they've been doing so much in Florida.
It's warm, I get it.
Right, they sent 6 coaches total to Texas outside of Dallas to see Maurice Washington, then turned around and immediately hopped on a jet and went out to San Jose to see his mother. Great strategy there, by the way, in that they ease some of the fears of Maurice Washington of getting to know the entire staff and really feeling comfortable with everybody, and then go ahead and do, you know, the same thing with mom, because contrary to what Herm Edwards believes, yes, you do have to recruit the family as much as you do have to recruit the player, and I think Nebraska's in great position here. Everybody's comfortable going into it. It's only his 2nd official visit, so that's something to keep in mind, too, is he only is comparing Nebraska to Arizona State and what he saw on that visit. I think if he liked Arizona State, he will love Nebraska. I think he ends up being in, and he announces on signing day.
Well, it's too dry. I mean, it's too dry and too sunny and too hot in Arizona.
Who would like that?
I don't know either. Offensive tackle Willie Canty, he's in, and he's in. He's in checking things out here. What sticks out about him? Louisville also a potential suitor, correct?
Yeah, this one looks like it's coming down to Nebraska and Louisville. The thing that sticks out about him, 6'6", 290, a kid that's a true tackle, right? Of all the people that are listening that are pumping, doing the Tiger Woods fist pump right now, hearing a true tackle, because Nebraska desperately, desperately needs a true tackle. Not a guy who probably should be playing guard, but a guy who should be an offensive tackle. Willie Canty represents that. He's not necessarily a day one player, but he's a guy that you get in the program, you get in with Zach Duvall for a year or so, and then you can let him go to work holding down a tackle spot. I think Nebraska's in a good position here. It feels like he's new to Nebraska fans, and he's new on the scene with Husker recruiting, but Nebraska staff has been on him since they were back at UCF, so they have a longstanding relationship with him.
Greg Smith talking official visitors this weekend. Hail Varsity Radio at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, let's talk about Tito Ogbonnia, the nose guard. What sticks out about him? What's his story?
Yeah, multi-sport athlete. That's always a buzzword. You hear that a lot this week during Super Bowl week because of how many guys on these two rosters were multi-sport athletes. And you know high school coaches or college coaches love high school players that play multiple sports. He's a thrower, wants to do track and football in college. So look out for the Davis twins to be kind of showing him around. And also that bond with Scott Frost, because Scott Frost was a thrower as well. This is a kid that has a really high ceiling. Like, I like this kid. It's film a lot, but there's going to be a real difficult battle because I think he's got 4 schools in the mix here in the end, Tennessee, UCLA, Texas Tech, and Nebraska. But Nebraska getting the final shot here could bode well for Nebraska. But this one is a real difficult one to handicap because you just don't know how strong that relationship is.
All right, Nebraska wants to grab a couple more defensive backs. One is in town, Ken Montgomery. Where's he at on Nebraska's board, in your opinion, and who's the second defensive back they'd prefer, and who do you think they get?
Yeah, I think that Kim Montgomery is right there in the mix. 6'2", 165 kid out of Tampa. Really good size. A little bit more raw than the guy that we spent a lot more time talking about, Tyon Palmer, who Nebraska is also waiting for a signing day decision on. But I think Nebraska's in a situation where between Kim Montgomery, Tyon Palmer, and Cam Taylor, those are three guys right now that they're looking at for the cornerback spot. They want to get two of those guys. And if I had to handicap it at this point, I would say Kim Montgomery. And for sure, Cam Taylor will end up being in the class.
All right. What about Tago? I know he's not visiting this weekend, but what's the latest you're hearing on him? Maybe the second quarterback Nebraska gets?
Yeah, right now all the momentum seems to be with Nebraska. When he put out his final three and said that he'd be making a decision tomorrow at 7 o'clock Central Time, I think it was Utah, Oregon State, and Nebraska. It looks like, from what I'm hearing, that Utah is maybe prepared to move on there, which is always a good sign for the other teams involved. So it really comes down to whether or not he's comfortable with Oregon State and playing linebacker at Oregon State, or if he really liked Nebraska and vibed with Nebraska and wants to, you know, learn as a quarterback under Scott Frost and Mario Verduzco. I know what all of the people listening right now would choose out of that situation, but I do think that he'll end up picking Nebraska tomorrow as well.
It's dry in Arizona and it rains in Oregon. I mean, come on.
Right. And you got the frost effect, right?
Sure, right. Yeah, absolutely. I've saved the biggest guy on the board for last, and he's, you know, Jersey proud, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. What can you tell us now? What's the latest on him with his visit with Jimbo on Wednesday?
Yeah, so Jimbo Fisher did go in home with him. There was a lot of talk back and forth about whether or not Jimbo would make that trip because Jimbo was out in Jersey seeing a tight end that ended up committing to UCLA as Jimbo was on the way out there. So he just says, hey, let's go ahead and swing by Javonte Jean-Baptiste home and do that instead. He did do that, and Jean-Baptiste is on his way now, or should be there, in College Station for an official visit this weekend. If we're going to say that, you know, Nebraska getting the last shot at all of these guys is a really big deal, it has to mean something that Jean-Baptiste is going there last, except in this case, Jean-Baptiste and the whole key to his recruitment has been the relationships, right? This has been a big relationship play because Nebraska has been after him since their UCF days as well. Scott Frost, Mike Dawson have done a great job there. So if Urban Meyer couldn't woo him away in a couple of weeks, then I don't think that Jimbo Fisher will be able to do the same thing in just a few short days. I still like Nebraska in this one.
Greg, about 90 seconds here. Andre Hunt. I forgot Andre, not intentional. Wide receiver that's visiting this weekend. Tell me about him.
Speed is what you need to know about Andre Hunt. He seems to be a real favorite of Troy Walters. Troy's been out there a couple of times to California to visit him, most notably right after he got back from his Oregon State visit. I think if Nebraska has the numbers, and it looks like they should, I think that he has a real strong chance to end up in the class as well. And you got to think, it feels like I've been saying a lot that guys this weekend will end up in the class, because I am. I think they'll get four out of the five guys this weekend. But if you look at their close rate of guys that have been on campus, they've been hitting it out of the park, and that's a really good sign for the future.
Greg, you'll have more info on Mazury and his situation coming up here on HailVarsity.com, and Greg will be all over this weekend's visitors list with Nebraska, and then we'll do the old Hail Varsity recruiting show blowout next week. You can find and follow Greg on Twitter at GregSmithHV and HailVarsity.com. No time like right now to get a subscription, 855-3-HUSKER. The cover of the recruiting issue is Mr. Martinez. Looks nice. Greg, have yourself a good weekend. We'll give you a shot, bud. Thanks so much.
Hey, sounds good, man. Thanks a lot. And for the second week in a row, bear down.
Uh-huh. That hurts. I'm surrounded by Bears fans.
We can sing that one if you want to.
No, that's okay. We'll get into some college basketball.
That sounds good.
Nebraska and trying to dance. We'll chat about it.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great stuff from Greg Smith on recruiting. You can catch the podcast at Hail Varsity Radio, iTunes, or HailVarsity.com. The coach, Jeff Smith, sitting in today, sitting in tonight as we're getting ready for East and Burke. Chris Schmidt and Bears fan Danny Burke and coach Jeff Smith and Greg Smith. Bear Mania going on here.
We ganged up on you.
You did, but I will always have Marino and his win against your 85 Bears.
That's true. We'll take the Super Bowl ring, though.
That's right, because Dan's still looking for it. Let's talk some NCAA basketball and Evan Taylor coming up in about 40 minutes. Nebraska guard Bill Dolman also next hour. Coach, wanted to get your take on the experience you were part of with those tournament runs with Coach Knee and Nebraska and Pike and Chubbs and who am I missing here? Bo Reed and
Tony Farmer. Rich and King. And
Carl Hayes.
Yeah, Clifford Scales.
Clifford was good. He was out of Chicago.
Yeah, he was. In fact,
Isaiah Thomas wasn't
same,
it?
Same as Glenn Watson.
Same as Glenn Watson.
Yeah, same school.
Yeah. St. Joe's.
Gene Pingator was their coach.
Okay.
Longtime legend. He's one of those Morgan Wooten type guys around forever, developed kids. And
sure.
Great guy. Clifford would tell me stories about him. It was pretty good.
So you're watching Nebraska. They pull it out against Wisconsin. And, okay, the buzz is real now from Scott Van Pelt to Andy Katz to Joe Lenardi, that Nebraska is at least on the radar to get on the bubble. Still work to do, but the consensus is to get to 23, 24 wins and maybe take down a giant a month away in New York City. How do you deal with that if you're Nebraska? And we'll ask Evan Taylor that, but from a coaching staff standpoint, look, your 90-91 team was a 3 seed. You were in a long time coming. But some of those other years, you won the Big 8 tournament 1 year, so you finished with the automatic bid. But there were some other years. You weren't out, but you had to get some key wins. But you didn't have to be perfect.
Right. You know, and going back to 90-90, I know it's a long time ago, but you know, we weren't very good the year before. Piekowski, Chubbuck, Tony Farmer was sitting out. Bo Reed was hurt.
Yeah,
Bo our scout
knee,
team
right?
could beat our starters that year. Probably the same as last year, somewhat. This is eerily similar because all of a sudden, Nebraska has some depth like we had back then. We had a lot of depth. We had a lot of different guys that could score on certain nights, led by Pike and those guys. But this is eerily similar. We didn't know how good we were for a long time. I think Nebraska is just realizing how good they can be. I was really impressed with the resolve they showed in that Wisconsin game on the road. And I know Wisconsin's down a little bit, but they're still Wisconsin. It's still a Big Ten
still
game on the road.
Still don't go win there.
They were bound and determined. It's hard to beat teams twice. I don't care where you are. But Nebraska did that at their place. So I thought that was a really good win. But this team kind of reminds me. I know I'm living in the past a little bit with that, but it kind of reminds me because we've got multiple scores. You know, at the start of the year when I saw the first couple games, I thought Glenn Watson's going to have to average 20-some a game. But then Palmer starts stepping up and showing what he can do. And Isaac Copeland starts stroking a little bit from the perimeter. And stretch fours are unbelievable to have. You know, and Thomas Allen can come in and score a little bit off the bench. And Roby's, I think, blossoming right in front of our eyes with some more. He looked like he was low confidence and not sure where he fit in at start. Now he's starting and I think feeling a lot better about himself. And he's my Tony Farmer, to be honest with you. He's so versatile. But from a coaching standpoint, it's hard to do, but you gotta, the old saying, you gotta focus one at a time on these games because one slip up now, unfortunately, can knock you back, and put so much pressure on that tournament, which you don't really want, but it can knock you back and make that tournament ultra important.
It is, and even if say it's 5-1, even 6-0, they're sitting at a double bye. So they're going to get the winner of, who's the fifth team? Say that's Penn State. Say that's Ohio State. Say that's Indiana. Who's the worst team in the Big Ten right now?
Probably Minnesota.
Yeah.
Iowa.
Illinois.
Rutgers.
Illinois, Rutgers.
Yeah.
So you're going to get the winner of that. Doesn't do anything for you.
Right.
You need to get to a semi and see if that 12-point was a fluke, which I don't believe it was.
Right.
Could have been single digits, to be honest with you. or Sparty's as big and bad as they used to be, which they're not.
Right.
You should have beat Ohio State. Penn State's the scariest team in the league, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree, and obviously
you need a shot at one of those.
Yeah, and you can't lose
one,
to Penn State twice.
No.
You can't do that. That'd look too bad. And the good thing about it, it will be a decent RPI game, at least your first round of the tournament. Instead of, like you said, you play a low RPI game, it doesn't help you at all, really. So
let's get you another
that's
win.
The advantage of having that double bye.
What secrets? And we'll talk to Dolman here in about 20 minutes, because he has been part of the mock selection committee process. What did you glean? What did Coach Nee glean through the years of the committee? Because I think you might have been gone by then, but I remember talking with Coach Nee. This is the year that Markowski's team got stiffed with a 10-4 mark and a player of the year in the Big Ten. They got worked by Kansas down in the tournament, but they swept Kansas through the regular season. This was a 2-seed Kansas team. They are the last Power Five with a 10-4 conference record to be left out. Well, that I hope Nebraska is not the 2-time winner of that.
Yeah. Back then, early in my coaching with Coach Nee, it was win 20 and winning conference record, but that's how strong the conference was back then,
sure.
too.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you were getting
honestly,
half the Big 8, Big 12 in.
Yeah, yeah. I think RPI almost hurts sometimes because everybody knows how good everybody is. Back then, it was just you won or you lost. You beat that person or that team or they beat you. Well, now it's, you know, what's their RPI? Is that win worth anything? And some of them don't matter anymore, really, beating teams. And that's put some pressure on this year's team that you got to go to Illinois, even though their record's not very good, but they're dangerous at home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's probably got Coach Miles, you know, up all night thinking about games like that and looking ahead. So, you know, the formula is probably now you got to win 22-23 and win one in the tournament. And there is some pressure there. But so that's what I liked about that, going back to that Wisconsin. They handled the pressure in that one. And there have been some games lately where they've shown they can handle the pressure. I loved how the coaches opened up that game and let the athletes play a little bit. Coach Miles likes calling stuff. He likes dictating who's getting the ball and ISOs and, you know, getting some on balls going, which is great. And he's got some great specials and sets and stuff he runs. But I love that game because he said, guys, let's open it up and play. Go a little motion. That was a great job by the staff on that one. And turn that game and let Palmer go to the basket, which, has anybody stopped him going to the hole?
No,
this year?
He's gone left. He's gone right.
He's got a great Euro step.
Done everything.
Yeah. And so that was a great coaching move on those guys' part.
Well, and that is so important to not overcoach, and that's hard to do, isn't it?
It is sometimes. Yeah, you want to control things. You want to get the shots you want with the guys you where you want them. But sometimes you just got to let them use their instincts.
That's important. We'll wind down hour one. Jeff Smith, longtime standout coach Southeast and part of the Nebraska staff under Coach Nee, is in studio. Bill Dolman coming up. Chris Schmidt. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this first hour, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the coach, Jeff Smith. Tip off at 7:30. We'll have Burke and Lincoln East, 1-6. Excited for that. Now, I got a Super Bowl this weekend, and I'm kind of interested in food. For that, what's the grub at the Smith household for the Super Bowl? What is always part of Danny Burke's pre-Super Bowl and mid-Super Bowl ritual? I got to ask you guys that. You start off, Coach.
Mine's usually ribs off the green egg.
Really?
Yeah. You bake them for about 3 hours, and then you rub them a little bit, and then you put them on the grill for a while.
Okay.
Put a little good barbecue sauce on
that's
there.
That's I don't know, temperature-wise here in eastern Nebraska, it's supposed to be incredible tomorrow, so I could smoke some ribs.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about maybe tomorrow, because Sunday's a little colder. Tomorrow might be a good grill day. Ribs are better the second day sometimes.
Okay.
You know?
Nah.
Might have to come over. That's a lot better than what I got planned.
What is it, man?
Well, since I'm, you know, here at school, I don't get as good of a cooked meal, so I'll probably just get some B-Dubs wings or something, you know.
Okay.
Get some kind of pizza or wings.
I think I'm gonna fire up a little Zaris on Sunday, but as far as I haven't cleared the, hey, we're having people over.
Just kind of a last minute kind of thing.
I have kind of broached that this week, and Mama Bear's kind of like, no, you're not. Because she wants to be in her, you know, in her polar bear pants and probably sit on the couch.
Right. We one of our teachers, coaches, football coaches, hosts a Super Bowl party, and I've never gone because I'm always sometimes got to watch film during.
Right.
So this is going to be a different Super Bowl for me. I may stop over and see what the boys are doing over there, and I know he does good ribs too.
Okay.
So
I gotta talk to Coach about what type of rub he uses. I have three different types of rub, and I do the mustard. I love doing them. I mean, they're impossible to screw up on my pit boss.
Yeah.
It's idiot-proof, and I have not screwed them up. They're really good.
I can't remember that brand of my rub. I like it, whatever it is.
But yeah.
Yeah, I just keep rubbing it. I don't even look at it anymore. Just rub it on there.
You're a Chicago guy, right, Danny, so you probably have an opinion about ribs. You're picky about ribs.
I'm not necessarily picky. I mean, but I've never really had
You've never had ribs. Bad ribs.
Right.
You looked me in the eye and said, I've never had bad ribs. We're doing the interview process. Danny Burke says, I've never had bad ribs or a bad hot dog.
Well,
being from Chicago.
Right. I'm not a fan of the hot dogs.
A hit will be put out on you. If we
can't stand the red hot dogs.
If we walk down that line, Danny. The Pride of Fairbury is 10 minutes away.
That's right.
You're
That's
picking
why I'm
a fight.
Now.
I do have to have the Sweet Baby Ray's on there, though.
That is gold.
That's good stuff.
That is so good.
My brothers and I had a rib off last summer.
Who won?
Well, I did.
Everybody.
The Sweet Babies.
Everybody won.
Yeah, I'm sure, I'm going to say I did, even if I didn't, because they're not talking.
Pretty good stuff. You're going out this weekend, and you're hitting that Super Bowl party. Please be safe, be smart, and find that safe ride home. And when you make plans, be sure that sober ride home is part of your plans. You get caught drinking and driving, a DWI could cost you $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time, and to be required to install the interlock device on your vehicle. So make those Super Bowl plans the right way with a sober, safe ride home. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury. Shortly, he's off to the Olympics. His thoughts on Nebraska basketball. Evan Taylor, Husker guard, next hour as well.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to Hour 2, Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the coach, Jeff Smith, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman of NBC Sports. Part of your Olympic coverage for 2018, also part of the coverage with Las Vegas NHL. And Bill Dolman is with us. Bill, are you... Are you getting geared up to head out? How are you?
Well, I head to Connecticut to start my Olympic stint for the second time on Sunday. But in between now and then, of course, it's a snowboard cross from Germany tomorrow morning on, I believe, NBCSN. So, again, just my Nebraska background just continues to pay off in huge dividends with things like snowboard cross, curling, ski jumping coming up. It just knows no bounds, which you can learn being a native Nebraskan in the Olympic sports world.
How many Schmitz are participating tomorrow?
I'm not doing beer pong, but I'd leave that for you. That might be one where
undefeated,
where you might be pretty good.
Yeah, the rumor has it. Okay, let's talk some basketball coming up. Evan Taylor, Husker guard, next segment. Bill, you have done a lot in your career, and you're doing coverage now with the Olympics and NBC. You have seen so much Nebraska basketball, the glory years, the great years. You know Coach Miles, and You were part of things with him at Colorado State, and then also with what he's done at Nebraska. As you look at this team right now, and Nebraska has officially kind of been the buzz this week, not just locally, but the experts nationally now have Nebraska on the radar. What's Bill Dolben think about Nebraska and where they fit in the pecking order on that bubble?
Well, I was listening to the show the last couple of weeks when I was on the air, and I can't agree with more with what was said in terms of what Nebraska has needed to do really since the middle of January. And you go back, I still say that loss at Penn State could loom really, really large. And unfortunately, and maybe unfairly, but that was a time when, you know, they did not play well in the first 30 minutes against Northwestern. They ended up winning that game by about 15 points. That was right after the first of the year. They lost to Purdue 74-62. And, you know, I'd love to see the way this team is playing right now. I'd love to see them play that game again at Purdue. The Wisconsin win was close. But, again, that Penn State loss was a winnable game. You barely beat Illinois in a last-second shot. You dominate Michigan. That's great. But I remember we were talking about, I think the schedule was something like 4 out of 6 games were on the road. And then the last six games are at home, where Nebraska is 12-1 on the year. And it's one of the best home court advantages, I believe, in the country. And Nebraska has responded, you know, really the way it had to. Now, I'm not quite sure where the shooting percentages are right now. I think they're just about 42-43%. I still think they need to shoot 45 to continue this hot streak. And maybe they have over the last 3 or 4 games. I have not looked at that deep into what they've done game by game.
They won with free throws against Wisconsin. They shot.
Right.
It was a tough
night. And they're shooting, they're shooting 72% from the line on the year, which will win you games. It's not like they're a team that's clanking it up there at 67% and hoping. 72% is going to win you games, right? So now but they've done well. They did extremely well last week. You know, nobody thought they were going to win at Ohio State, and they didn't. But they did go 3-1, and they did win that game at home against Iowa, which I thought was pivotal, and they got that done. You go on the road, Wisconsin's down, you need to keep them down. And all. So they have done, for the most part, everything right except for that Penn State loss. And I think that's the one that if they get into a committee room, that they're going to look back and go, that was a road win that they could have had, and that's why Nebraska right now, while it's cool that they're in the conversation, that's the one that I fear most. But if this team continues to roll, takes care of all the business they need to at home, wins a game in the tournament, I said before, and I couldn't agree more with myself, that they've got to finish fifth in the conference, okay? And I still stand by that. If Nebraska's fifth and wins a game in the tournament, they're in. But if they backslide a little bit and somehow they get to thinking about how good they are right now and they lose a game at home, if Nebraska loses a game at home in the final couple of weeks of the regular season, I think that's going to be another albatross, and that might be too difficult to overcome. And then you're talking about getting to the Big Ten final.
Yeah.
And I think that gets you in the tournament. And the other thing that I'll say it again, that I said last week, and again, I could not agree with myself more, Glenn Watson is the key. You got to have great guard play. He is a great guard, and part of his production has gone down is because Palmer's been so good, and that's fine. But I think you got to have Watson averaging 12 and 6 assists down the stretch, 12 to 13 points per game, and playing well. Not just sneaking in there, but playing really well. And that's the other key.
And Bill, this is Jeff Smith. How you doing, Bill?
Jeff, how are you?
Good,
what are you
good.
Doing hanging out with those guys?
Oh, I just like hanging with you.
Those guys.
Yeah. Hey, but I did want to, touching on Glenn Watson, I felt lately, and I kind of want to ask if you agree, that his defense has been excellent the last few games. And I feel like he's playing just a little more point guard without worrying about scoring and letting the game come to him a little bit more. And with the guys stepping up, like Palmer and Copeland, and taking more scoring, that could be a plus for Nebraska. Plus, and also, I think he carried us for a little bit early in the Wisconsin game, hitting some shots.
He was hitting consecutive ones.
And then he got right back into that point guard role when the other guys got going. So I was fairly excited about him the last couple games, honestly.
I think he has made a comeback, because I think when you take a look back, and my dog agrees as well, you might have heard him in the background. I think that his numbers have gone down because of what Copeland and Palmer have been able to do. And I think Palmer right now is the best player in the Big Ten. It may not be the player of the year, but right now he's the best player in the conference. But you're right, and I think that's a sign of maturity when you see where Glenn has kind of gone down. And I think Tim even has mentioned that he lost his confidence, but the confidence is coming back. And maybe that is because he doesn't have to have the pressure to score, where he has learned, you know what, there are other aspects of being a point guard that I can do and do well. And when that confidence in distributing, playing defense, you know, getting after it on the defensive end, then maybe the points are going to come too. But I loved it when Tim kind of acknowledged his confidence has taken a hit and seems to be coming back. And maybe it's not 12 and 6 assists, but if he continues to play at that level on both ends of the floor, then I think Nebraska's got a great chance. But I still think that his play and his confidence is critical for them to advance.
I agree with you. I also wanted to ask you a little bit about Jordy. You know, I'm starting to see a little bit of why Coach Miles stuck with him and told us he believed in him and kept starting him. A month and a half ago, I don't know if I would have said this, but I think he's starting to play a role that we need. And I think those games he was out, we missed him a little bit. And if that kid can keep developing, we need him on the floor sometimes, because I know, you know, Roby's getting better, but he's not a low post defender. So I think Jordy is crucial down the stretch for us.
Whatever job that they did in getting him back in the fold and in the right frame of mind over the last week or week and a half, whatever he's been back, was brilliant. And I don't know if that's Tim doing the job, if that's, you know, Molinari, who's in a, you know, been around a while, but somebody obviously got to him and said, "Look, you have a role on this team. You're not going to be a 20 points per night scorer. You're not going to get double doubles. But if you can go in and do this and do it well and play, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes a night, you know, use your physicality, that's what we need from you. And do it well, and you will play, and you will play a significant role and be a part of what's going on here." So, you know, that's part of being a coach, as you well know. Somewhere along the line, you got to put, you know, psychology at the forefront with some of those guys. And I credit them to get – and maybe they just said, "Look, brother, you only got 6 more weeks of this, and then – you know, do whatever it is you need to go do. But right now you need to buy in with us and your teammates and be accountable to them." And I think he's responded pretty well. That whole thing seems to have been blown over. Not, don't say blown over, but put on the back burner to where it's not an issue, where it could have been really divisive. And you've been around teams when it goes south with one guy, it can go south with a lot of bad guys. I think maybe Jordy realized, you know, everybody else is kind of leaving me behind. And all the guys that I thought were my boys have kind of bought into what they're doing and are really a team, and I want to be a part of that as opposed to bringing somebody down. Mm. And maybe that's lifted him up, and that's a great thing.
Bill Dolman with us, Hail Varsity Radio, the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Want to go to recruiting here for a second, Bill, before we get Super Bowl thoughts. And Scott Frost quoted this week, "I'm really thrilled with the reception we've been getting when we walk in wearing Nebraska gear." That's been his response. It's not always been that way. The program's not up to what it's been, but they want to take it back there, and they are scouring the earth for the right 27 kids, it looks like, for this recruiting class. And touch on that a bit here, if you could, Frost and kind of his persona and also the perception. What do you think's the bigger wow factor out there? Is it him back home at Nebraska, or is it the fact that it's Frost and it's his offense that's the wow factor that is more enticing?
I think it's two things. And what I have been heartened when I have read those stories about kids who are interested in Nebraska, you have a lot of them who are saying, talking about Nebraska's tradition and recognizing Nebraska. You know, we may not have been at the forefront in the top 10 over the last 15 years, and certainly the 4-year case of the flu. But there's, you know, we've talked about it so many times. Nebraska is still Nebraska. And you've got 18-year-old kids who are citing tradition and the fan base. And when they see the red, they recognize it. And what have we done over the last 15 years? How many times have we worn those purple People Eater uniforms or the UNO hand-me-downs or the Lincoln High uniforms? And I said, you cannot do that, especially at a home game, because one of the most recognizable things in all of college sports is when they show a scene at Memorial Stadium. And that still resonates with a kid, whether he was, you know, 3 years old when we were winning, you know, at the forefront of college football. People still know Nebraska. That's the bottom line. And when you bring in Scott Frost, who has been the hottest young coach in the country over the last 2 years, 3 years, you know, everybody knew him when he was Marcus Mariota's coach. Mm-hmm. Now you've got that perfect marriage, essentially, between the tradition of Nebraska football, the sights and the sounds that people have been familiar with for the past 40-plus years, and then you see the young, hot coach that everybody knows because they've seen him for the last 4 months and 4 years, whatever. They say, oh, yeah, 2-2, that equals, you know, one. I want to be part of that one thing at Nebraska. And I think that's really exciting, that the tradition is held through all of the storms we've been through. And then you've got Scott Frost coming in to pilot the ship again. And I think that's a great thing. But the tradition still speaks for itself. It is still recognizable. And for the love of God and all that is holy, Bill Moose, don't ever listen to Adidas when they say that we want you to wear these alternative uniforms. Maybe you do it on the road, fine. But never, ever change the red, the white, the scarlet, and the cream, and the N on the helmet, and all that when you play a home game. Because I have been in places where people have looked at that screen and gone, well, who's that game? Who's that? Well, that's Nebraska and Lincoln. Well, what are they doing that for? Exactly. When you see that, everybody knows what it is. And if you're an 18-year-old kid and you can still recognize it after all we've been through, it still talks about the tradition of Nebraska football that is second to none.
Bill, I got 90 seconds
but
here.
But I don't have an opinion on it.
I know you don't. Philadelphia or New England, who you locked in on?
You know, I got a lot of friends in Philly, but I love...
That's gutsy.
I love the fact that the Patriots have done what the Patriots have done and that they really don't care what anybody else thinks. So I salute their excellence. And it wouldn't bother me if Belichick and Brady won another one. It really would not. It's a great story, though, if the Eagles win it. You know, I think Papali's going to have a great game and special teams for him. So I would love to see the Eagles just because that city would really embrace and my friends would really enjoy it. But if the Patriots win it, I'm okay with that.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
We'll have the forecast coming up where I'll have my prediction. So you're walking your dog. What's your dog's name again?
Shaggy.
Shaggy. Shaggy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shaggy like gummy bears.
Shaggy like Scooby. I grew up with a Scooby, and now I got a Shaggy.
Okay. I just had to throw in the fact that you're in Mile High Country, and that's all I'm asking.
Yeah. That's not the case.
No.
That's
well, good. 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 Bill, you have a great trip to the Olympics. We'll be watching. I will harass you, and we'll see if we can squeeze you in or if you can squeeze us in more like it.
So snowboarding tomorrow, thank God for Nebraska, and curling 24/7 for the next 3 weeks.
That is money. Bill, take care, bud. Thanks so much.
Thank you. See you, Jeff.
There
see
he
you.
Is. Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Little Average Joe throwback right there on a Friday. Love it. Evan Taylor will join us, our conversation with Nebraska's guard. We'll get a little bit further detail on coffee miles. There's 10 miles, then there's 10 miles on coffee. Friday forecast is on the way. The coach, Jeff Smith, is in. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Senior guard for Nebraska basketball, Evan Taylor, with us. Evan, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. How's the week off been?
It's been nice, especially to sleep in my own bed again, you know, just, you know, kind of kick back, not be on the road, not be on planes for once.
Are you the type of guy that can get comfortable in a hotel, or are you like a lot of folks where, man, you're just, you're trying to sleep, but you can't because it's not your own pillow?
I mean, I would say like I'm a combination of both. You know, hotels are nice. Hotel beds are cool, but it's nothing like home.
The snack choices you guys have at some of the hotels, thumbs up or down?
Overall, I'd say it's a thumbs up.
Okay. Well, that makes it a little easier, right? If you're up, at least you can munch. Evan Taylor with us. Evan, let's go back to when you came to Nebraska and you were deciding on some schools, and Nebraska seemed like a fit. Tell me that story as to why Nebraska was right for you.
I think it was, you know, just timing, really. You know, I was waiting on a couple of schools that, you know, things weren't really moving, and, you know, Nebraska kind of came out of nowhere, and they expressed interest, and, you know, I was, you know, automatically interested because, you know, Nebraska, you know, the Big Ten tradition. So, you know, when I was able to come on campus for my visit, I kind of just fell in love with it, fell in love with, you know, the program, the school, you know, like the guys, you know, my teammates. So, you know, it was just a perfect fit.
Evan Taylor's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Can find Evan on Twitter at EDJT_96. So I was catching the post game after the comeback against Wisconsin, and we'll get into that. And I heard you talking to Jake and Kent, and I need a full description of Coffee Miles.
Coffee Miles. Well, first of all, you need to know that Coffee Miles and Tim Miles are not the same person. So, like, you got to start with knowing that. But I would just say, if you think, you know, Tim Miles is like, you know, really laid back, relaxed, and funny, Coffee Miles is, you know, real on edge, real serious, you know, not really with any jokes. It's all business, and you know, it's a different type of personality you got to adjust to.
How many times have you seen Coffee Miles?
In my time here, in my 2 years, I've seen Coffee Miles more often than not. But, you know, I see Tim Miles a lot, too. You know, it's just a combination. You never know what you're going to get. But game day, you usually see Coffee Miles.
Evan Taylor's with us. So is it usually a look, or is it the fact that he's got the cup in his hand? Is there a look in his eye that tells you Coffee Miles is here to stay?
It's the look, but then once you hear the tone of voice, it's like, okay, that's Coffee Miles.
All right. How is Coffee Miles and Coach Miles been able to motivate and sift through the ups and downs of a season, not just with the team, but with you personally? You've done a tremendous job defensively. You've also been fantastic in some instances on offense, but man, you've adapted to whatever you've been asked to do. How has that point been driven home, and how have you been mature enough to handle it?
I just think, you know, over my time here, me and Coach Miles have we've developed a good relationship and an understanding of, you know, how each other works. So he knows how to come at me, and I know how to come at him. And at the end of the day, like, I know that we share the same common goal. And, you know, there's times where he really gets on me, and I'm like, why are you getting on me? But I know, like, it's only to push me to be better. So, you know, I just try to, you know, give that back to him because he gave me an opportunity here when he didn't have to. And I just try to give that back to him, like, show my appreciation by, you know, just being a great teammate, you know, doing what I can for us to win.
Evan, you mentioned that common goal, and things are going awesome for Nebraska basketball. The communication side of things, being able to be open with him and have a relationship, when did that kind of, I guess, gel for you with Coach, who the guy can be tough on his players, and that needs to happen, but he also needs to know when to hug the guys, and it sounds like he does. Were you able to just sit down and kind of lay out, here's how my buttons work when you're going to push him? I mean, take me through that process, if you could, a little further.
I mean, the first thing I would say is, you know, relationships are always evolving. You know, you're never at, like, a peak point or with a relationship. But, I mean, just last year, you know, when I started starting, I feel like he kind of gained trust in me. And, like, the more time we spent together, the more he coached me, the more I played for him. It just became, like, an understanding. Like, you know, this is how I come at Evan. And, you know, this is what's going to get the best out of Evan. And I know, like, this is what Coach Miles wants. So it's like, you know, our relationship, you know, it's still building as we talk now. Like, me and Coach Miles talk at least once a week, but it, you know, it's more of a thing where it's just like we kind of understand where each other are coming from, so it's like we can, you know, be the best versions of ourselves for each other for the common goal.
Let's go to the Wisconsin game and tell me about halftime, and then you guys were down 11. It's been well documented, the 30-8 close. It was fantastic. You got to guard Hap for a while. Was there any doubt with you or teammates at halftime? Was there any doubt once it got as bad as it looked down 11?
No, there wasn't any doubt. We knew that, you know, going to Wisconsin, a team like that, a real grinded out team, it was going to be a tough game to win. But, you know, halftime, Coach Miles really got after us, and I think it kind of woke us up to, like, all right, we got to pick it up. And, I mean, he's always had confidence in us as a team, like, man, we can figure things out. And I just think, like, that second half, we were just able to figure things out as a team.
Evan, you guys figured it out big time. Now you've had a little bit of time off, practices, and then off to Minnesota. Are you paying attention at all to bracketology, bubble talk, the noise out there about Nebraska in the tournament?
Not at all. At the end of the day, you just take it one game at a time, and, you know, when that time comes, then you deal with it then. But for right now, you know, our eyes are on Minnesota. My eyes are on Minnesota. You know, how are we going to prepare to beat them? And then the next game, it's not really about, you know, first four in, first four out, or, you know, bubble team. That doesn't matter right now. All that matters is, like, us winning, and that's the only thing that we can control right now.
Has anything been said about ignoring the bubble talk?
No, not really. I mean, you know, at times you might say, like, you know, this is where we are, but never much detail about it, because it's not really, like, prevalent right now. What's prevalent is, you know, us, you know, trying to win the rest of our games to put ourselves in the best position, so when that time does come, you know, we can get what we want.
Tell me a little bit about some of your teammates, specifically Palmer and Cope, and they've been tremendous, and Glenn had a big game, but just some of the camaraderie, and it's been mentioned a lot that this team really is pretty close. He being Coach Miles, likes the group, and it seems like the relationship's really, really pretty strong. With your teammates, how close are you to some of those guys that are putting up some pretty big numbers? Is it a working relationship, or does it go deeper than that?
It's definitely more than a working relationship. You know, half the time that I talk to those guys, or anybody on the team for that matter, we don't even talk about basketball. We talk about, you know, other stuff, just life, school. You know, we play Xbox together, so, you know, it's more than just basketball. But yeah, we got some guys playing at a really high level, and, you know, credits to them. But, you know, they're doing well, and, you know, they're a big part of our success. But I would say, like, you know, even the guys that don't play, like, you know, our bench mobs, you know, they are just as important to, like, us being successful as, like, the guys who are scoring 20 a night. So I think our team is really close, and I think, you know, our success is a byproduct of, you know, just people just buying into their roles.
You mentioned it, roles. If you could define Evan Taylor's role and put it out there, people see it, but what's your role mean to you?
To me, you know, it's to be, you know, it's to do whatever I have to do for our team to win that night. So if I've got to, you know, well, I've always prided myself on defense and, you know, being the best defensive player, you know, in the conference, I'd like to think, you know, but, you know, whatever I got to do for us to win, like, if I need to, you know, if I need to be that person that's out there communicating and making sure guys are getting in their right spots, then I'll do that. If I need to, you know, make shots, you know, be more aggressive, then I can do that. If I need to, you know, bring more toughness, then, you know, whatever it takes, you know, for our team to win, then that's what I'm willing to do. But it, for me, it always starts with defense and toughness, because, you know, that's kind of what I pride myself on.
How vocal are you?
I'm a pretty talkative guy, you know. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I would say I'm probably one of the more, like, flamboyant personalities on the team, maybe.
Okay. Well, good. I mean, what makes you flamboyant? What do you do that folks kind of are drawn to?
I don't know. I just kind of be myself, you know, outgoing. You know, I'm not, like, over the top, but, you know, I'm outgoing. You know, I express how I feel, try to pick up others, you know. In practice, you know, I'm really, like, you know, into it, trying to get guys into it so, you know, we can get the best out of it. That's just how I am.
Okay, so on social media, the latest, I guess, food tasting was tweeted out. And there was it Jack's Jerky or something like that? What was it?
Yeah, I think it was. I think that's the latest one, the Australian jerky. Yeah.
So was it brutal?
Honestly, I don't even remember tasting. I don't even know if I'm on that video.
But I didn't see you, but you've been on one of them before.
Yeah, yeah. The worst one was I think it was the Vegemite. That was the worst thing I've ever had in my life.
What is that?
It's like some type of like spread you put on like crackers. I remember it was like a darker colored spread we put on a cracker. And Jack was like, you know, if you eat Vegemite, it makes your jump shot better. So, you know, I was like, yeah, whatever. But I tried it. It was disgusting. That was probably the worst thing I've ever had in my life.
Evan Taylor's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Evan, a thought on Minnesota. You had a career-high 7 rebounds against the Gophers when they came into PBA. Now it's a roadie on Tuesday. What sticks out about Minnesota to you?
They've got a really good guard in Nate Mason. They've got a good wing. They've got a good, you know, post player. Unfortunately, they lost one of their post players. But, you know, you can't take them lightly. You know, they're going to be at home, so they're going to be jacked up to play us. So, you know, we got to be ready. And like I said, whatever it takes for us to win, then that's what we're going to do.
Okay, so we're going to switch to the Super Bowl here, about 30 seconds or so. Big football guy, yes or no?
Yeah, I'm a big-time football guy, big-time college football guy. But, you know, the Steelers are my team, so. Okay. You know, I don't know how to feel about the Super Bowl.
No, I don't. You really, really don't like the Super Bowl this year, probably between the Eagles and the Pats.
Nah, it's not very tasteful to me.
How did the conversation with Roby and yourself go?
Well, you know, that was a really tough day for me because the whole practice I was worried about the game, and I know they jumped out on us like 28-0 or whatever it was, but I knew we was going to come back. But once I found out that we had lost, you know, I couldn't really look at Roby in the eyes because, you know, he's just this Jaguars fan. That's so random, but yeah. They aren't better than us, but somehow they beat us twice. It just doesn't make sense.
They beat you twice, man.
At you know, in Pittsburgh, so it just doesn't make sense. But, you know, that's a conversation for another day.
Well, we'll have that conversation another day when Pittsburgh gets even with Jacksonville. Evan Taylor's with us. Evan, best to you, man. We'll do this again. Thanks for a few minutes with us.
I appreciate you.
There he is, guard Evan Taylor. Great chat with him, Huskers and Gophers. That'll be good stuff. Friday forecast next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for the Friday forecast, presented by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline at 1-800-522-4700. Brandon Vogel is in. Vogues, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Schmitty?
I am good. I'm going to start my own little prop bet over-under on the number of bowls of chili Brandon Vogel. Over under on the number of bowls of beer cheese soup Brandon Vogel will have Super Bowl Sunday. I'm gonna go with the line being at 2.5, and I'm gonna say you stay under. Now you can totally manipulate this, but am I far off?
And you know, under will pay off for you. It's a long day, so I'll probably have two at some point over the course of a full Sunday of basically gorging myself and watching the great American spectacle. So you're already a winner.
I've been waiting for that all week to be told that. I thank you for doing that. That's good. Klausburn was supposed to join us, but well, let's just say he ran into a group of Eagles fans. It didn't go well, and we'll just leave it at that. So it's you and me. This will be good. It'll be fun. Let's run it down. First and foremost, we're going to do some prop bets, and then we will knock out the game. Over under on President Trump, number of tweets during the Super Bowl, over under is 5. I'm going to say he goes right to 4 and stays under. Vogues?
Yeah, I think under as well. It seems to be, or maybe it's just my Twitter consumption has slowed down. But I see fewer and fewer from him. Although, you know, he does have a sort of war going on with the NFL. But I'll still stay under.
Okay, so we're both unders there. The pink national anthem, I was going to throw out hair color, but I think she's dialed that back, and I don't care. But this is always interesting, just because sitting up in the West Balcony as a kid, the urban legend was the number the seconds stopped on was how many points Nebraska was going to win by that day. My dad told me that when I was 8 years old, and I, with the end note, what's the number at? 2 minutes is the over-under on the national anthem. I think she goes over. I think she has such a set of pipes, this thing might be around 238. So I'm going over. Vogues?
Yeah, they keep leaving this number at two, and I think the over has hit on this like four or five straight times, I read somewhere. So I'll take the over as well. You start to think about 2 minutes. It feels like a pretty quick national anthem. That's not the trend for us right now. We're not into quick national anthems. So give me the over as well.
Bill Belichick, will he wear a hoodie? It's a simple yes or no. Why break tradition? The sleeves will be off. I'm surprised he didn't wear a hoodie during the two Bills 30 for 30 last night, but he didn't. But it did make an appearance. It's got to be a yes.
I'm a little bit biased here because on this random sports book that I found online, I don't even know if it's licensed.
Random,
I
huh?
Got 500, I actually got 500 to 1 that he's going to coach shirtless. So I have a financial incentive to say no to the hoodie. So that's what I'm going on.
So you're saying he's going to coach... he's coaching shirtless for a buck just in the instance that... He goes crazy Saturday night and into Sunday, and he shows up with just the khakis on, huh?
No, I put more than a buck on it. I put everything on it. So.
Oh, well, good. That's sound. Yeah. Okay, there we go, Vogues. Well, good for you. Michaels and Collinsworth, you can bet on will they or won't they say greatest of all time, dynasty, and City of Brotherly Love. I've been watching Michaels and Collinsworth a long time. I think they avoid the GOAT. I think you hear Dynasty. I think you hear City of Brotherly Love from Michaels. Vogues?
Yeah, these guys are they're savvy veterans. But I felt like we heard the GOAT a bunch 2 weekends ago during the conference championship rounds. So I'll go yes to all three.
Okay. I am doing two out of the three. Super Bowl MVP will be, I'm going to say, you know, he's been cleared to play. He's a guy that is a difference maker, and for New England to win, he has to be a big part of it. I'm going to say Gronk. Probably a trendy pick, probably a sentimental pick, but I'm going to go Gronkowski. I think he has a monster game. He'll have to have a big game for New England to do their thing. That's my pick. Vogues?
Yeah, it's no fun to take Brady here, of course, and Gronk is a good sort of second or third choice in terms of guys who have a realistic shot. Give me Amendola. He continues to come up huge in the playoffs and just clutch situations in general. If you can get two of those, two clutch situations, which is asking a lot, actually, but that's probably enough to get you an MVP, assuming that Tom Brady doesn't make it all about the Tom Brady show. So that'll be my pick.
Okay, yes or no? Bill Belichick will retire after the game?
No.
I'm gonna go yes. I think he's done. I think he's out.
Yeah.
I think he's gone.
Okay. No. I guess we'll see. Yeah. Technically, yes, everything is after the game. Everything after the game is after the game. So I don't know how long they're going to pay out, but
okay, I got you.
Strategy on my part.
Gotcha. Okay, there you go. Well, Peyton Manning, number of commercials he will appear in, over-unders at 2.5. I think he can't stay away from the camera. I think he hits at least 3. What about you?
Yeah, 3 was the number that came to mind for me as well. But I'll go under just so you and I have opposite rooting interests on something here.
Well, I don't want you to feel obligated if you think Peyton's going to be there with Eli and, you know, maybe it's a Buick, maybe it's a slice of pie, maybe it's a Budweiser, maybe it's DirecTV. I mean, I just rattled off. What else is he pimping this season? I don't know.
I don't know either. You know, but with Papa John's not involved, that takes one off the board. So, I want, even though all the money goes into a pool and I'm not directly taking your money, I want to feel that way. So I'm sticking with my under.
All right, let's get to the game. New England and Philly -4. That it is. The over-under, 48. Is that right?
I think so.
I'm going to go under on that, and I'm going to say you have another tight ball game. I've done a lot of these 24 to 20s throughout the forecast history, but it's going to be 24 to 20. New England wins late. New England is a champion. Most of America can get sick, and Philly fan will hurt each other. But New England, I just said 24 to 20. That's a push. I think that's what happens. I don't think you're going to get a cover here. I think it's going to be right on the number. Some places you may have 4.5, but I think 4 is going to be the difference.
Yeah, you know, that's come down a little bit from where it opened, which maybe isn't as surprising as I if you told me that at the start of the week, I'd be like, no way. But as I've looked at this game a little bit more, Eagles probably have an advantage on both lines. They have a couple of things working against them. One, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, of course. Lobster rolls are better than cheesesteaks. Sam Adams is better than Yingling. All bad news for the Eagles. I'm going to go for the under as well, just barely, but a cover for the Patriots, 27 to 20.
Okay, there we have it. That's the Friday forecast. Vogues, enjoy yourself this weekend, bud.
Will do. Take care.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Ready to close out a Friday here at Hail Varsity Radio. I'm Danny Burke, taking over for Schmitty. Once again, had to kick him out of the studio, had enough of what he was saying. Didn't agree fully with a lot of his predictions for Sunday. So with that being said, going to give you my rundown of some of the props, some of the lines. Give you the winners. They're guaranteed. I mean, over the past couple of shows when we've been giving our gambling picks, I've been getting them right. Schmitty on the wrong end, but that's all right. Maybe he'll listen to me soon enough here and start taking my advice. So we'll start off with a couple of the fun ones, just a couple of the gag ones. Heads or tails to start the game and to start our betting. -105 both for heads and for tails. I don't even think this is a question. Going with my gut and my brain on this one, the pick is tails. The logic, tails never fails. That's pretty straightforward right there. And then going off of what Vogel and Schmitty were talking about in their Friday forecast, the length of the national anthem. So they have it at 122.5 seconds right now, right around 2 minutes, a little bit over. The over at -140 and the under at +100. Pink is singing it. In the last 12 Super Bowls, the over-under has gone 6-6, so 50% on both can't really go wrong. But keep in mind that it is inside a dome, a little bit warmer, so she's not going to be rushing it. And just like everyone else, I'm going to have to go with the over on that one. The average time, however, is 1:58 over those past 12 Super Bowls, but I'm still riding the over heavy on that one. And now moving on to the color of the Gatorade, yellow/clear is at +130 and any other color at -170. Now, clear liquid has been used 4 straight times from 2007 to 2010. Belichick definitely seems like a clear water guy, that's for sure. But Belichick has stayed dry in Super Bowl 36, 38, and 51. And if the Patriots do win, does he evade the splash once again, or do they maybe even go to the coaches that are leaving, like Matt Patricia? Are they going to dump it on him since he's leaving? Who knows? But I'm going to have to go with any other color. In the NFC, they're big in the orange Gatorade. When they have done it, it's been the color orange a decent amount, and that's going to lead into my pick for the Super Bowl. We'll get to that in just a second. So I'm going with any other color -170. Now, here's a funny one. Here's one that baffles me. Tom Brady rushing yards. The last I looked at it, the over-under was 3.5 for his rushing yards. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous when you think about it, but it is Tom Brady and one of the slowest quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life, and he knows it. Everybody knows it. This one's tough for me because he's definitely going to put it all out on the line for the Super Bowl. He's going to do what it takes. He's actually going to run this game. I think he's going to put his body out there more than he ever does. But the thing that also sketches me out is what if they're up at the end of the game and he takes a couple kneels? Now that'll knock a couple yards off. But even with that in mind, I'm going to have to go with the over on that one. 3.5 is just so ridiculously low. I know he's so slow and everything else surrounding that, but I'm going to have to go with the over. And finally, the lines. Eagles, +4.5 is what I had it at. I know that Schmitty and Vogel had it at +4. But in my book, I see +4.5. I tweeted last year the Eagles would win after Alshon said his team would win the Super Bowl. So I'm still riding the Eagles. Hopefully my prediction comes true. I know it will. Eagles +4.5, and I'm going with the under of 49. So it should be a great game on Sunday. On Monday, I'll come back all victorious. Better than Schmitty per usual. But thanks again for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.